Okay, so next up we have reproducible JupyterNet notebooks, and presented by Ludovic. So please give it up for Ludovic. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, good morning everyone, can you hear me? Everything's going fine? Okay. So I'm Ludovic, I work as a research engineer at INRIA, which is a French research institute. And this talk is going to be about, it's going to be more about reproducible science than about high-performance computing per se, but I think there's a non-empty intersection between HPC people and reproducible science people, so that should work fine, hopefully. So what I'm going to present is joint work with Pierre-Antoine Roubi, a former colleague of mine, on getting integration of Qiks with Jupyter notebooks, but before I get there, let me explain a bit the motivation. So there is a general trend that you've probably noticed of using Jupyter as a tool for reproducible science in general. And I think that's a very good thing because, you know, Jupyter allows people to have their narrative together with their code, and that's something we very often miss in science. Like often you have the paper, you have graphs, but you don't necessarily have access to the code. And we know that's a problem in terms of, you know, being able to reproduce scientific experiments and so on. So Jupyter notebooks are a great step in that direction. But I wonder, I mean, is it really the ultimate tool for reproducible science? It does go in the right direction, but still there seem to be shortcomings. And so, you know, I've been working on the Qiks package manager and deployment tool for a while, so I guess I have some sort of a professional quirk. I think it's called that, right? And for example, every time I see a Jupyter notebook cell like this one, I'm like, how is it gonna run? Because, so what you see here is Python code using Matplotlib, all right, that's fine. But I'm like, if I take that notebook on my laptop, is it going to run? Like, what Python version is it going to use? What Matplotlib version is it going to use? You know, that's not clear. It doesn't appear here. And so I feel like we need to do something about that. So when I first learned about Jupyter notebooks, I was like, how do people address that question? How do people say what software needs to be deployed for the notebook to actually run on their machine? And, well, it turns out that people apparently often have a pip install line, command line, at the beginning of their notebooks, so that if you take the notebooks, you run it on your laptop, then it starts by downloading stuff from the internet and installing it in your home directory. And, like, maybe this is not great, you know. But there are other solutions. And so one of the most common solutions, I guess, nowadays is Binder. So Binder, I suppose, is mostly used as a service. So there is this mybinder.org website, and you can essentially get notebook Docker images from there, and that allows you to run, you know, notebooks in the right software environment because you have Docker images for specific notebooks in there. And under the hood, Binder is able to actually take descriptions of how to build a software environment of a notebook. So it can take, you know, environment.yaml file, R files, Python, setup.i files, and so on and so forth. And from there, it can automatically build Docker images that contains exactly the dependencies of your notebook, right? So it's a step in the right direction because now we can actually have, you know, Jupyter notebooks with their dependencies, and that's fine. We're going to run hopefully the same thing. But still, we are not, my feeling that we're still not quite addressing the core issue, which is that notebooks themselves do not carry information about their dependencies, right? So I have a feeling that it should be part of the notebook description or the notebook metadata, which dependencies are needed to actually run the notebook, right? Otherwise, you're missing part of the story and you cannot actually execute the cells and everything, right? You need to get out-of-band information. That's not great. So the starting point for this work was asking the question, what if notebooks were self-contained? What if they were deployment-aware? And more importantly, what if that deployment was actually reproducible? So deploy it on your machine, you get the same result as me on my machine. Well, it turns out I've been working on the GNU Qiks, like I said, and GNU Qiks, so who's heard about GNU Qiks before in this room? All right, half of the audience. So GnuGeeX is a package manager software deployment tool that focuses on reproducibility. So it has, I mean, you can use it like apt-get install, for example. There's a GeeX install command. Or it's pretty much like apt-get install, condor install. But there's also a command to set up an environment. And for example, this command would create a software environment that contains Python, NumPy, and SciPy. And that's the kind of thing we want to do with notebooks, right? We want to be able to say, I want an environment with precisely this Python, that NumPy, and so on. So let's see how we can integrate GeeX features into Jupyter. And that's how we ended up with GeeX Jupyter. So it's not a very creative name, but yeah, that's the story. We're just, you know, integrating the package management and deployment features of GeeX into the notebook itself. There's a blog post at hbc.geeks.info that contains more details. But here's the story. So if you use GeeX Jupyter, basically, instead of selecting, as you would normally do, like a Python 3 kernel, so the kernel is the, you know, the language implementation that's used by Jupyter, you would select the GeeX kernel. And the GeeX kernel is some sort of a metakernel, if you will. Like, it's what allows you to then specify which actual programming language kernel you're going to use. I'm going to show that in a minute. But yeah, GeeX Jupyter is essentially a kernel. So it acts as a proxy between the Jupyter notebook and the actual kernel that you end up using. So this is how it works. You have a notebook, but you would provide additional annotations about the software environment that's needed to run that notebook. So you would have, for example, this GeeX environment annotation, where you say, I'm creating an environment with IPy kernel, IPy widgets, and so on and so forth. And then it deploys it behind the scenes, and then you can actually execute your Python code in there. And you know you're getting the right software environment because that's exactly what you specified, and the kernel guarantees that it's going to deploy this. But the funny thing is that GeeX allows you to travel in time and space, so you can also say, all right, I want to pin my notebook to a specific GeeX revision, so I'm going to get very specific versions of Python, NumPy, and so on and so forth. And if you do that, then you get like perfect reproducibility. There are additional things that are needed if we want to achieve reproducibility of the computation that are in the notebook. And essentially, for that, we execute the notebook cells in a container. So for example, here, this is my UID. It's always going to be 1,000. And here, this is my PID. It's always going to be 1. So that means I cannot actually access files on my local file systems. So I know that my notebook is going to be reproducible because it does not depend on undeclared dependencies. But then, of course, sometimes you want to depend on files that are available outside. And for that, we have an additional annotation, which is GeeX download. So you would say GeeX download some file and the hash, the expected hash of that file. And GeeX would transparently download that file and make it available inside the execution environment of your notebook. And at that point, you can actually fiddle with that file. But the key idea here is that the file that you depend on is part of the description in the notebook. And so we're just essentially following that the ideas in that paper and all the work that's been done in Nix and GeeX, which is about, you know, having a functional approach to computations, right? We view computations as pure functions, so every input to the computation needs to be declared, and then the result can be hopefully reproducible. That's the idea. So it's time is up, I guess. In a nutshell, GeeX Jupyter provides you with self-contained notebooks. You can have a notation that specifies the environment. It makes deployment of the notebook software environment reproducible, and the code itself runs in an isolated environment, which again improves reproducibility. This is it. I think we have time
Thank
for
you.
One question.
We have time for one question. Okay, who's going to be the lucky one? I think your hand was there first.
Maybe I would like to ask, what is the more added value here than just checking the version of the needed library and then download it if it's not there? So I could just check if I need like pandas 5.something. I check it if it's like 5.1, then I just update it, or I just download it if it's not there. What, how this is more added value than just, yeah.
Right, so the regex works is that it provides a certain number of packages at a specific version, and it's pretty much like Debian, if you will. At a specific point in time, GIX would provide panda version x.y, and if that's not the one that you want, then probably you want to pin to a different GIX revision with this GIX pin annotation that I showed, but then you just need to know which revision to pick to get the right version, the version that matters to you. And so for someone already using GIX, you know, it's easy to find out which revision is the right one for your environment. But if you're not using GIX beyond the notebook, then we don't have a good story yet for that. But there's a service being developed, which is called the GIX Data Service, that will allow you to say, I want that version of Panda, which revision should I take? Right. And yeah, the goal is to make it easier to select the right revision.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you.